Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I'm your host, Benjamin Orr. The Cardinals and the Brewers played last Sunday night, and it was pretty glorious because the Brewers, on national TV, for the first time since, I think, April of last season when they played the Cubs, I think it was a Monday night game, they won 6-4 over the Cardinals, and it was amazing. Since then, the Brewers have gone on to win four games, a series against Atlanta. They've lost one in the process, and currently they're in the series with the Mets, where they've won two. So the September Brewers have actually been really impressive, and we've talked about this before of how well they've been playing really with the young guys on the team. But, you know, in the previous series, they're playing some decent teams. They're playing, you know, the Cardinals. They all ultimately lost the series to the Cardinals, but they won the series against the Braves. So, you know, Lou, let's talk about that win last Sunday night. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of the season, really. I mean, that was about as good as it gets, at least in a season like this. You know, they looked like they wanted to win. The Cardinals kind of didn't seem like they were that into it on that night for whatever reason. And it was good. Everybody looked good. It was a good showing for not being on national TV for almost 17 months. So if you're gonna do it, you should do it in style.
And they did. I mean, everybody is hitting well that night, except for Logan Schaefer, but that's kind of obvious. The Cardinals looked really sloppy in that game too. Three errors. David Freese making mental blunders at third. Yadier Molina had an error, and Carlos Gomez even stole a base off of them. So, you know, obviously Joe Kelly, you have six runs for the Cardinals. Three of them weren't his fault, due to his defense, but, you know, the Brewers looked really solid. Peralta was okay, but Hand looked good out of the bullpen. Kins looked good out of the bullpen. Henderson gave up a run, but they still notched a save. So, really, yeah, the Brewers may have lost that series overall, but I think that's, you know, one of those silver linings for them.
And then Jimmy Henderson mowing down, what's-his-face, not Carpenter. Who's the fat Cardinal?
Adams?
Adams, yeah. When he mowed down Adams after Adams just kind of owned him the last two times. That was sweet.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice win.
And, that guy's fat.
He is.
Who knows it?
I'm going to check the vitals on him real quick.
The fiddle.
6'3", 260. So.
260? Yeah, right. Sure, 260. Yeah, and Prince Fielder is 280. My ass. 260.
That was a pretty good win, though. You know, I'll take it. And then the Brewers, after that was the last game at home. They went to Atlanta to play the Braves for three games and won that series 2-3. Had a shutout.
They should have taken 3 out of 3. They should have had that. They really pissed that one away.
The first game they had a shutout over the Braves 5-0. Estrada looked brilliant. Second game they lost 3-2, but you know. Close losses have kind of been the story for this team all season. They've had a lot of close, you know, losses. Thornburg looked great, but bullpen could just not get it done.
Thornburg has just been, man, unbelievable how he could be so bad in AAA and finish this season so strong. Unreal.
Like, it's like he can't pitch in AAA, but he can pitch in the majors.
How does that work?
I don't know, and I'm not
how
arguing
does that make sense? I mean, the guy's got great stuff, and I wonder if it's one of these Mike Fiers things where, like, people are going to get a book on him now because he's pitched enough, and then now that they'll have a book on him next year, he won't be as good, like what happened with Mike Fiers.
You know, I don't see that happening with Thornburg. I think he's...
Well, Thornburg has better stuff than Fiers, so, I mean...
And he's younger.
Yeah, so, you know, it's nice to see Thornburg throw like that. It gives me hope that all is not lost.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Brewers head into that third game with Atlanta, and they saw an even better pitching display out of Kyle Loesch, who was just absolutely dominant. Complete game shutout on 89 pitches. I think Ron Renick and Rick Karinas probably just freaked out. They don't know that happens in baseball.
Well, yeah, because their little clicker that usually tells them when to take pitchers out, it never rolled to the bottom, so they didn't know what to do. So they were clicking and clicking and clicking, and the 99 never turned into a 0 again. So they didn't know what to do. They had people up in the bullpen for like two pitches, and they're like, oh, no, sit down, I'm sorry, I misread this. And then they were like, oh, wait, no, get somebody up, he's at 79. Oh, no, three pitch innings. Okay, sit back down. It was awesome. Kyle Loesch was my hero that day.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even touch 90 pitches. I mean, that's incredible. Through nine innings of work, he didn't walk a batter. He only allowed two hits.
You know what? The Braves are going to have to play a lot better than that if they're going to move in the playoffs at all. From what I just saw from them, they're going to get taken in the first round. They're just not very good, I don't think.
You know, and let's talk about these Braves because that's been the big story that came out of this game, and unfortunately, it overshadows, you know, Loesch's gem. But the big story out of this game was the Carlos Gomez, Brian McCann spat. You throw Freddie Freeman in there too, and I guess Brandon Laird because he also was part of this. For those of you that don't know, Carlos Gomez hit a home run in the first inning off of Paul Mahomlin, who Paul Mahomlin and Carlos Gomez have kind of had this, I guess, history going. Mahomes drilled Gomez several times. Gomez.
Hey, Ben. Yeah. Ben, I'm sorry to break your train of thought. Say Paul Mahomes again.
Paul Mahomes.
Sorry. I just like it so much better when you say it. All right.
Is there a reason for this, or?
No, you said it twice, and both times it invoked the same reaction, which was like a little laugh. I don't know. I just like the way you say Paul Mahomes. I don't know why.
Okay.
It might be your Ohio, your slight Ohio accent. I don't know. But I just like the way you say it.
I don't think we have an accent here.
Nah, everybody does. Everyone in the U.S. has a little one. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you. Proceed with your story about Paul Mahomlin.
Yes. Between Mahomlin and Gomez, there's sort of this rift. Mahomlin drilled Gomez earlier in the season.
It goes back farther than that. Mahomlin was a Pirate. So they had a history there, and then where was he after? Where was he before? He wasn't a Cub, but he was somewhere else where we saw him.
Yeah, he was a Cub.
Yeah, he was a Cub. So it's like that crap has been brewing for probably longer than just that plunk that he put on Gomez. I mean, I think that it's something that is much deeper seated than that.
Yeah, and you know, Gomez hits that towering home run, and
he crushed it.
It was beautiful.
Oh.
And yeah, he stands there and watches it. You know, I don't necessarily condone that, but I mean, I get it. You know, the Brewers are going nowhere. I mean, I guess it's a silver lining for, you know, a guy like Gomez who's having a fantastic season. And as he's rounding first, Freddie Freeman starts barking at him, and Mahomlin, I think, is saying something to him. So Carlos Gomez, the whole time he's rounding the bases, is just throwing back into their faces what they're giving him. And when he comes around third and he's going to score, he's still barking at Mahomlin at this point, and Brian McCann is just standing in front of the plate. He won't let Gomez touch home. And he gets in Gomez's face, Gomez gets in his face, bench is clear, Luke Roy gets in front of Gomez to get him out of the way, some dude gets in front of McCann. Gerald Laird apparently gets ejected from this. I don't even remember seeing Gerald Laird in this at all.
I didn't know Gerald Laird still played in the major leagues.
I didn't either.
That was the best. That was the highlight of his season for sure.
Freeman got tossed. McCann. I don't think McCann got tossed.
McCann did not get tossed. He did get hurt. But he did not get tossed.
Gomez was ejected. And Reed Johnson, he wasn't ejected, was he? He was just I think.
I don't think he got... No, maybe he did get tossed.
And
I don't know.
The silliest thing that came out of this, besides Aramis Ramirez getting elbowed in the jaw, and then leaving in the fourth with an unrelated injury, which that was just bizarre in itself, was that Gomez was suspended the next day for one game, yet nobody else was. I mean, Lou, how many times do you see guys get into spats and they get ejected? Sure. But they're suspended for a game with four games to go left in the season? Come on.
I don't... You know what, Ben? The honest to God's truth is I just don't care. The season is over. If they want to suspend him for one game just to prove some sort of misguided point, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Here's the only thing that bothers me about this entire incident. I'm like you, Ben. I don't condone the fucking... Whoop.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not good.
Anyway.
Anyway, I don't condone the showboating. I don't like it. Clearly it bothers me because I use foul language, but I don't mind them barking at him for because he did it, so that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is McCann meeting him before he can touch home plate. That's the part that I guess bothers me, because it would be different if, like, McCann didn't already have a reputation for this sort of crap, but he does. He just did this, like, a month ago in Miami. He just did this exact same thing to a pitcher who hit a home run. A rookie pitcher. So it's like, part of me is like, okay, yes, I agree, Carlos Gomez was a little out of line. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he wasn't. Freddie Freeman probably shouldn't have got tossed if it was just for jawing, but apparently through an elbow. I don't care about that. The part that bothers me is McCann meeting him halfway up the third baseline for something like that. And that, to me, is a sign of the Braves' weakness. Like, that they're so distracted by what the other team is doing that there's no way that they're going to win in the playoffs. I'm calling it now. They're out. They're out in four games, first round. They're just toast.
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible depending on who they play. But, you know, if the Braves can't manage, you know, to score more runs off of a Milwaukee team. Now, granted, Milwaukee has pitched really well in the month of September. Rock was just saying on the game tonight that in the month of September, the Brewers' starters have an ERA of 3.05, so they're doing pretty well. But they did get shut out two games by Milwaukee, so you have to think that Atlanta, I mean, yeah, they won the division. They won it a month ago or two. I mean, the Nationals were nowhere near them. But still, I mean, it doesn't allow for the Braves to get cocky. They still need to, you know, focus on the postseason, and the way they're playing now, they're going to get smoked.
Yeah, they look like a team that is very, very lost.
You know, and unlike the Brewers, I mean, with the Brewers' win tonight over the Mets, they just now assure themselves that they won't lose 90 games on the season. The worst they can do is 73-89. And the best they can do is 75-87. So, nice. I mean, it's not exactly .500, but it's a hell of a lot better than it could have been. I mean, they could have been a lot worse, but the younger guys stepped up. They did really well. The starting pitching really stepped up in this last 2 months. We've seen great starts out of Estrada, out of Loesch. Gallardo's been so-so here and there. He's had a good outing, then a bad outing, then a good outing. Thornburg's pitched well. I think I already talked about Peralta. They've used Helbig in there as well. The bullpen has been kind of concerning. In his last three saves, Henderson's given up two runs. But, I mean, I don't think that's anything to really worry about. But, God, you just kind of wish they would have had this fight in them earlier. But, you know, I think a lot of that, honestly, can be contributed to these younger players and the whole chemistry just coming together now. So, I mean, who knows? If the Brewers do end up winning these last two games against the Mets and they sweep them, I mean, that'll be great. Obviously, still, you know, probably a year or two, maybe three of actually contending, maybe even longer, who knows. But, you know, you like to see this, because I read a comment that somebody made, and they said, why are the Brewers still trying to win? They need to get a better draft pick for next year's draft. I'm like,
I hate that mentality. That's the worst mentality for sports fans to have. That drives me up the wall.
It's completely asinine. It just is. I mean, you want to see your team intentionally lose for a draft pick who may not amount to anything?
Really? Yeah, I've never understood that, especially in baseball. In football, I feel like it's a very different beast. But in baseball, it's just like, do you know how many first-round picks don't pan out? Look at, like, the 2008 draft and look at all the first-rounders and just go, wow, this is terrible. And it's, yeah, I don't like that mentality. I've never understood that. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and I mean, you look at, and I can think of two notables off the top of my head that the Brewers drafted, not in the first round, but definitely later rounds, that are doing well in the majors, and that'd be Tyler Thornburg and Giovanni Gallardo. They weren't first rounders by any means, and they're still an integral part of this team. So, you don't have to have a first round pick to be a team that's going to win games. I'm sorry, I just don't agree with that, and I think that's a completely asinine point of view, just to say, oh, well, they need to lose games to have a higher draft pick. it's not football, and you're not the Colts who had that season, like 2 years ago, they had this suck for luck season. This isn't the same thing. Like you said, baseball is a much different animal than football is. And usually that's not a good thing.
No, it is not.
You know, and talking about, you know, draft picks and all these other types of things in baseball as a whole, recently Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, just announced that he will be retiring.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch old witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, wicked witch is dead. I hate Bud Selig. I'm glad he's going to be gone. It's going to be like a dawning of a whole new age of baseball.
Yeah, who knows what's going to come out of this new era of baseball
once
he's gone.
Only good things, Ben. Only good things.
Selig will be retiring after the 2014 season on January 24th, 2015. Obviously, there hasn't really been much of an announcement of another commissioner yet or who might take over. But with some of the things that... excuse me. I'm just kind of dying over here. With some of the things that Selig has really faced towards the end of his... I guess, time as commissioner, are things that are going to be brought into really the next commissioner's tenure, and that's going to be still the steroid debacle thing. I don't think so much instant replay, since they're going to kind of bring that next year in the challenges thing, but there's also been talk about expansion with the World Series winner playing the winner of the Japanese World Series equivalent sort of thing.
That is stupid. I don't want to do that at all.
I've heard talk about that.
Do you know how humiliating it would be for that team to win the World Series and then get smoked by some Japanese players? Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's go ahead and do that.
I can't say
that'd be like us taking the winning team of the MLS and then taking them to play the winning team from whatever the Premier League is. Like, the MLS winner versus the Premier League winner. Yeah, that's fair, except it's not at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm sorry. Do you ever watch the Little League World Series? Japan owns us every time.
Those are little kids, though. I mean...
Dude, they breed baseball players now. Look at Aoki, a team of guys like that.
Team of Aokis, Ichiros, and Darvishes. That's scary.
Yeah, exactly. They use different mechanics that we seem to not be able to figure out over here. I don't know. I think that's a horrible decision.
I mean, and I've heard them talk about that.
I hope that that's Bud Selig's legacy is ruining the game of baseball.
And so with that, I mean, you know, was a Milwaukee guy, was known throughout the community and the organization, so...
He did bring the team that I love so well to Milwaukee. So I have to give him credit where credit is due. He snaked a one-year-old franchise from Seattle, my former hometown, and brought them to Milwaukee. The Seattle Pilots, a.k.a. the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
1970. Well, 1970 was the first season of the Pilots, and then... In 71, they were in Milwaukee.
Yes, you and I were not even thoughts.
Nope. But I clearly am excited that Bud Selig will be gone.
Yeah, I kind of was able to tell that from the whole Wizard of Oz spiel.
Oh, did I actually sing that out loud? See, I thought that was more an internal thing.
An internal monologue?
Yeah, I didn't know that happened outside. So I apologize.
It's fine. So, yeah, we didn't really talk about doing this, but, you know, I feel like since we did it last week, we could do it one more time, because this is our last podcast for the regular season.
That's true.
Before we go into off-season mode. So I think for one more time, one more last hurrah, we need to do Defend Your Tweet.
All right.
So.
Hopefully you have one ready for me, because I didn't know we were doing this.
We decided to do it on the whim.
Pre-game this, so I have to search for you and then find something of value to me. So I hope you've got something ready so that I can talk while I look.
So,
You don't, do you?
Well,
Benjamin.
All right, I actually do have one. I know it's a little kind of self-explanatory.
Alright. Well, then don't ask that one. Find another one. Or ask it and we'll fill time with that one. And then find a better one.
Yeah, I'll ask it, because everything else, I think you had it with that spat with Justin, so. On September 20th, around 10:29 p.m., you said, "The prophecy," with four exclamation marks. "We cannot win games if Mike Gonzalez appears on the mound. No, we are tied, and both runs this inning belong to Gonzalez," which I know is self-explanatory, and it happens all the time. But, Lou, I guess defend it, but what happened that...
So, that actually started like a week or two ago, where I started screaming about the prophecy on Twitter. Basically, the prophecy is just that if Mike Gonzalez comes in the game, he's guaranteed to give up runs and potentially blow the game. But then I started applying the prophecy to, like, other things, too. I don't remember all the things that I keep adding to it, but it involved, like, Unieski Betancourt. One of them had him. And I just keep adding to the prophecy. But Mike Gonzalez is always a part of the prophecy. So, like, if you see Mike Gonzalez in a game, you have to look for the other signs to know what your imminent doom will be. So that's the prophecy.
And Juan Francisco is the other half from what I was taking.
Oh, yes, that's right. And Juan Francisco pinch hitting. And then he struck out, I think, too, was the beauty of that.
Boy, color me surprised, you know?
Yeah.
Juan Francisco striking out. He probably has more strikeouts than you, Darvish.
Oh, you, Darvish.
And that's quite a lot.
Wait, you have been tweeting a lot.
Yeah, I know. That's.
Jeepers, creepers. Are you going with the throw a bunch of poop at the wall and hope that something sticks? I always like to go for a less is more type feel, but boy, Ben, you have been saturating yourself in the market.
Well, a lot of them I was talking with the guys at and one girl at Yanksville Yard. We were talking about Cano. So.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, that guy really thinks he's good.
Yeah, that's a little bit out there. $305 million? No. No team is that stupid.
That's way too much money. I mean, he's really good. I believe that he's a very good baseball player. But he is talking about being the greatest baseball player ever, and he just is not that. If Mike Trout asked for that, I'd go, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm sorry, Robinson Cano is not Mike Trout.
Plus, he's, you know, like 10 years older than Trout, so...
Yeah, that's poppycock. All right, this I have to know about because I'm confused by your tone.
Okay.
Ben, on 4 days ago, that's all I know.
I don't know
dates at the moment. You tweeted, "Wait, there's seriously a Metallica movie coming out? Wow. ... Now, defend that tweet. What's going on there?
So, I forgot what I was watching. I think, obviously, it was a baseball game. I just don't remember who it was. And I look over to the TV, and I see Metallica on the TV. I'm like, oh, that's cool. They must be doing something about Mariano Rivera. No, it's a commercial for a Metallica movie. And I'm like, oh, they're actually making this?
It wasn't sarcasm. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think it has anything to do with Mariano Rivera, but I'm like, wait, Metallica is actually relevant still? I mean, I thought they kind of died in, like, 89.
Hey, like, 94.
Okay. No, 91, I'm sorry. That's when the Black Album came out.
Outrageous.
I didn't know Metallica was, A, still relevant, and B, something that people actually want to put into a movie and watch. Like, I mean, don't they have, like, things where they've gone on the road and, like, released, you know, DVD to home? I mean, they actually did put something in the theaters? Like, it just...
All right, you did it.
I don't know.
All right, but defend this tweet.
Okay.
Want to join Reviewing the Brew staff? ReviewingTheBrew.com/P=8360. Defend that tweet.
Is that a link?
Yeah, I read the link part. Am I not supposed to do that and defend your tweet?
I guess you can, but...
Right? I'm supposed to read the whole... Well, now everyone can get there if they want to.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be defending about that. It's kind of... Hey, write for us if you want to.
That wasn't very good, Ben.
I don't know what you want me to say.
I don't think you gave people enough reason to come write for us.
Well,
maybe it's because of a wonderful banter like this?
Well, no, it's awesome. It's an awesome banter like this. And the fact that we're an awesome staff and... We have outings, and we go to games, and...
Let's talk about the outings. What kind of outings do we go on, Ben? Just so the people know.
Well, we go to games, we tailgate.
That sounds like fun.
It is. It's fun. It's great fun. We have sausages and hot dogs and things that I spill and have the bun still in my hand. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was classic.
I go to bite the hot dog, and hot dog falls away, plate falls away, bun is still in my hand.
And it was something else, Ben.
And I think the hot sun that day was frying it into the pavement.
It was... You can't make that stuff up. Straight out of a 1930s silent movie. Guy goes to bite his hot dog. And it's like out of a frickin' Wile E. Coyote cartoon. He goes to bite the hot dog and just shoots right out.
Yeah.
You over condimented. That was the problem. You over condimented.
I didn't use that much sauce though. I just put a little bit on.
You got really excited about the stadium sauce. You don't have to lie. We all know about the stadium.
It's really good. I mean,
it's just ketchup and barbecue sauce.
It's so good.
The best part of that was when, after the weekend was over and I brought it home, and it was in my fridge still. My wife was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, oh, well, we'll make sausages and we'll use it. And I was like, it's the Brewer Stadium sauce. She was like, oh, okay. And she was like, what's in it? I was like, well, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. And she was like, oh, geez. I was like, just eat it. And she takes one bite and she just looks at me and she goes, is this just ketchup and barbecue sauce? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. She was like, yeah, it's exactly what it tastes like. So that's the end of that story. I hope someone else finds that funny. I thought that was hilariously funny.
I thought it was humorous.
It was very funny.
Oh, and the most important thing that we learned from the outing, well, it wasn't from the outing, it was when Lou and I were just hanging out, and we found out about the Tesseract. That was the biggest thing.
The Tesseract still mocks me to this day. I got ripped apart on because I watched it again. Oh, man, Ben, this one is so bad. This podcast is about to go way off the rails.
It's still on the Defend Your Tweet topic, so I have a topic lined up after this.
All right, I watched The Avengers again because when we watched it together, I didn't care for it. And it was the first time I'd ever seen it, and I was like, this is not as good as everyone made it sound. And I was like, and then I watched Dread, which I really liked. I thought that was a great comic book movie, and I was like, oh. I was like, maybe I should watch The Avengers again. And so I watched The Avengers again, and my God, Ben, that whole movie is just about the Tesseract and making plays for the Tesseract. The Avengers should just be a sport, and the goal is you have to make a play to get the Tesseract, because that's essentially like the basis of founding a sport. It's just not very good. I'm sorry that people really like it, and I'm sorry that my opinion is different from yours. I just don't think Avengers is very good. I think it's super overrated. I think it's just okay. It's not great. I'll probably never watch it again. Even if it's just on TV, I probably won't ever watch it again because I just don't think it's that good. I think the Iron Man movie set the bar way too high, and now this is not as good as those.
But Scarlett Johansson, though.
Well, come on, Ben. But I mean, nowadays almost every woman in every movie is pretty smoking hot. Mm-hmm. I like Scarlett Johansson as much as the next guy, but she alone cannot salvage a film.
True.
So,
well, they did eat shawarma at the end, so.
Which is funny, and that is probably my favorite part.
Because it's at the end.
Yeah, and when the Hulk smashes that little closeted gay.
You mean Loki?
Yeah, Loki, that guy. The one who's supposedly a god, but is clearly... The reason that he's so angry is because he's afraid to come out to his dad, I think.
Well, he's a demigod, so he's not a full god.
Yeah, and I think he's just mad. I think he's, you know... They grew up in a very conservative Nordic household with standard Nordic values. I feel for the guy. I'm a man who believes in gay rights. I feel bad for him, but he seriously needs to stop being such a jerk because he's kind of a pansy. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to be a big bad guy, you have to not be like that guy. He's just not, he's not scary to me at all. There's nothing about that guy that is intimidating to me or frightening. Like, I remember when I first saw The Dark Knight Rises and Bane first came on the screen, I remember actually being like frightened at his appearance. I was like, I don't want to look at you anymore. And, this is not that. I'm not afraid of that guy.
I have never seen the third Batman movie, so.
What? Benjamin.
Yeah, I know.
For shame.
And I need to watch that. I need to watch basketball as well.
Oh, you haven't watched basketball yet? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't even know why we're talking, Ben. You need to get up to snuff on basketball. It's a very important film.
I will watch it before our next outing.
definitely one of the most underrated sports films ever.
And see, this is what we do during our outings. We watch Avengers once and...
Work, Ben.
Yes.
Need to get us back on track. All right.
And, so...
If are you going to make another tweet?
If you want, I mean...
Yeah, bring it.
Yeah, let me see what I can find here that wasn't with an argument with Justin.
there aren't many other than fighting with Justin there.
It's tricky. It's very tricky. I guess this will work.
Don't sound so disappointed.
On September 21st at 9:46 p.m., you tweeted, "My grandpa always said that a tiger can't change his stripes. Neither can a brewer's manager, I suppose."
Ah, that was in regards to, I don't remember specifically what it was, but he changed relief pitchers. He brought somebody in to get one out and then brought somebody else in to get two outs. And I hate when he does that. Just let the guy pitch the inning and move on. He's so retentive about matchups that I think sometimes it just blows up in his face. He would just let guys, if a guy gets a first out right away, just leave him in there. Stop yanking guys just because of matchups. The team isn't good enough to care about matchups. Just let the guys pitch. And that was what that tweet was in reference to.
You defended
my grandpa did say tigers can't change their stripes.
You defended that very well. I applaud you.
Thank you. It was much better than my Avengers defense.
That wasn't even a defense. I was just talking about the outing. That was still on my defense. Could you ask me about the apply for us thing?
Oh yeah. Jeez. That seems like such a long time ago.
Okay, so moving on from defend your tweet, which was Avengers filled, and you know, the Brewers announced that they are going to take the option on right fielder Norichiko Oki's 2014 first contract next year, and basically he's going to be a Brewer again. Now, while it's all fine and dandy, about 90% of us know he's trade bait. I mean, that's pretty much a given fact at this point.
Yeah,
but. Say he isn't, hypothetically. I mean, it's not like you have a bad option in right field if you still have Aoki out there. Yeah, it hurts Chris Davis, but I mean, it's not like if we don't get rid of him, it's like we're sunk. I mean, he's still a really good player.
I mean, there could be injuries. You never know what is going to happen. So I say for now they keep him, but I also think that they picked up his option to have him as a trade piece. I don't really see them... I feel like Chris Davis's talent is too much to ignore. To delegate him to a backup role would be a waste, I think. And I think Renicky's smart enough to see what we all see. And you have to have guys who can hit for power in your lineup. And while Aoki is a great outfielder and he's a very good on-base guy, we have a lot of really good on-base guys already. So I feel like most people are in agreement in that it's mostly a base to use him as a trade piece when the time is right.
Yeah, and I don't know at this point, off the top of my head, who would be interested in him. But, you know, there's going to be teams that will pop up for him. But, you know, Aoki would make a very interesting piece of trade bait. Because if the Brewers do end up trading, they will start Davis and Wright. And the backup will be Caleb Yendall. God forbid Logan Schaefer still be on the team at this point, but he probably will be.
Yeah, he will be.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they could even get for Aoki. I'm not imagining anybody too huge, maybe a prospect or two.
I'll take that, though.
Yeah, I mean, you take what you can
get. For a guy that you signed to a really meager deal for, you know, and you got 2 years and some change of use out of him, I won't shed any tears about that. Really? I like Aoki. I think he's a good player, but... You won't see me crying for Argentina on that one.
And the thing with Aoki is he's such a good leadoff hitter, so a team in desperate need of a leadoff hitter, there you go. I mean, he can steal bases, he can make nice catches in the outfield, he can really hit well, doesn't strike out a whole heck of a lot. So, I mean, He's pretty much the ideal outfielder. He's not going to drive in a whole lot of runs being at the top of the lineup. He's going to score a lot of runs. I mean, I think he's driven 37, 38 this year, but he's scored 80.
I just thought of the best trade ever. Get the Angels on the phone, Ben. We're going to offer them Aoki, Ricky Weeks, and Giovanni Gallardo for Mike Trout. Straight up. Do you think they'll go for it?
Only if we throw in a Ruffles bag of chips and $20.
That's all we'd have to throw on top of that? I'd be happy to part with those few things to get Mike Trout. Done. I accept there. Get him on the phone. I'll watch Moneyball to work on my negotiation tactics, and we'll make that happen.
And we're putting Mike Trout where?
What position could he play? Well, we'll probably just put him in, Chef? I don't know.
Chef?
Yeah, I had a brain aneurysm, so I couldn't think of a place to put him.
Now I'm just thinking
first base?
First base. Yeah, I kind
of... He's a bit of an outfielder, though.
Yeah, he makes those amazing catches that get him on highlights for years. I don't know.
I'd still take him. I'd make room.
That'd be interesting. You know, talk about first base, you know, you bring up another good point that I wanted to talk about. And I was going to make this an article idea, but I just kind of said, screw it. I feel like I couldn't get much of an article out of it. I feel like it's a better discussion. And hypothetically, I know this won't happen, but with Corey Hart wanting to come back, and say he does, and, you know, after that, you know, he's gone, the Brewers don't re-sign him, there's Hunter Morris to work with. What if the Brewers decide to use Jonathan Lucroy at first base more often than they use him at catcher? I mean, you could bring somebody up as a catcher and have Maldonado be the catcher. I mean, I'm not saying they need to do this. I'm not saying it's anything to be written in stone. But, I mean, Lucroy has done well at first from the little times he's played. He's turned a few nice double plays here and there. You'll still have his bat in the lineup. And if Maldonado gets hot, then you'll have two really good bats in the lineup.
Here's what's going to happen. I think they're gonna be able to re-sign Corey Hart. I really do. And I think that they're gonna have Corey Hart, and then they're also gonna have, I think they're gonna hold on to Juan Francisco, and I think that they're gonna make it work with those two. That's what I honestly and genuinely think is going to happen. I think that LaCroix is too good of a catcher, and the pitchers trust him, they like him, you can't just take him out and put in Maldonado, who quite frankly, I have lost a lot of faith in Maldonado over the course of this season. I've lost a lot of faith in him. So, you know, it's one of those things where if it's a matter of spending a little extra money, I think the Brewers would rather, you know, pay Corey Hart for a year at a pretty low amount just to see what happens and just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it was an idea I had thought about writing and thought about, well, you know, it'd be kind of okay if it happened. I mean, the Brewers would have a first base option then.
And, you know, as crazy as this is going to sound, you know, Matt Gamble is still under team control.
I forgot about Matt Gamble.
Yeah, tell me about it. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I think that they will sign Corey Hart back, and then, you know, they'll just see what happens internally. But Matt Gamble is still a thing.
Well, I mean, at this point, I guess they kind of have to re-sign Corey Hart. You don't have any options for first, because if Francisco continues to suck like he has.
The prophecy.
Who are you going to put at first?
Hey.
I mean, Betancourt's going to be gone. Halton, I don't know if you put Halton at first. And who do you put at first?
You could go super crazy and try to teach Chris Davis to play first base.
No. I disagree there. I don't want Chris Davis at first.
I said super crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say this is a really logical, well-thought-out plan, but I said this, and I quote, this is a super crazy idea, but you put Chris Davis at first.
Better idea.
I don't think it's a good idea either, but yeah, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
I have a better idea. They re-signed Mike Gonzalez, but use him at first.
Gross. You're a disgusting person to even joke about something like that.
He wouldn't be pitching anymore.
Yeah, but he'd still be sucking, so it's same story, different chapter.
Oh, you've little faith.
I hate Mike Gonzalez.
Well, so do I. He's
front row Amy to do the Hall of Brewers You Won't Miss because we bonded over our dislike of Mike Gonzalez. I don't hate Mike Gonzalez. I just, every time he gets on the mound, I just go, seriously, we're going to keep doing this? And just shake my head and go, seriously? Like, Renicky, is this really something that we're going to continue to do? Like, there's only a couple days left in the season. Is this really something? All right, Ron. Whatever.
And it's like, every game Gonzalez goes and we lose.
It does seem that way. I don't know if that's true, but man, does it seem that way.
If it's not, it's very overwhelming. I remember Justin telling me at one point this season the Brewers were 4-17.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember him having that stat.
And I can only think that it got worse over time. They're probably now, what, 6-32?
Well, since the All-Star break, his ERA is like 10, so I'm pretty sure it's worse.
You know, and that might be an area of concern for the Brewers heading into next season, is the bullpen again.
You should open up and look at Baseball Reference, look at the Brewers' season, or see if it shows just go to Mike Gonzalez's page and click on his 2013 full stat page, and it'll show you the outcome of every game that he pitched in. I bet you can find it right now. I bet it's very depressing.
I will do that, but I'll have to do it right now. But, oh my God, do you know who his agent is?
No.
Look, I'm not going to say his name on air, but look at
Is it He Who Shall Not Be Named?
It's Lord Voldemort.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't need to look then. Really? That's his agent?
His agent is Lord Voldemort.
Jeez. That's surprising.
But yeah, the bullpen might be a little bit of a concern next year. The starting rotation might iron out his issues with guys like Thornburg doing well, in Loesch, obviously. Peralta might get back on the horse. Estrada looks pretty strong, provided they re-sign him, because he is arbitration eligible. And Gallardo is just kind of the wild card right now. The bullpen has its concerns, because while Kinsler's doing well, while Henderson's doing well, Gonzalez is not doing well, Gorzolani is injured, but he should be hopefully fine for next season. I don't believe Badenhop has a deal for next year. Blazek, just kind of forgot he existed. I think Rob Wooten could be a part of this bullpen.
I think he is. I think he is a part of this bullpen. I don't think there's any
Donovan Hand, definitely. Yep, but beyond that, I think there's a lot of questions that the Brewers are facing, much similar to what they faced last offseason with the bullpen.
But you know what? There are so many young pitchers right now who are getting closer and closer. And I mean, at some point, you got to throw them into the fire. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm less worried about the bullpen and more worried about them just getting quality starts like they did the second half of the season. That, to me, is more important. The bullpen will iron itself out. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm not worried about I'm not as worried about the bullpen as you are, maybe.
Well, you want to know something really disgusting?
What's that?
Mike Gonzalez took 12 pitches in a game against Texas this season and did not record a single out.
Yeah, that sounds like him. If you would have just read that and said which Brewers pitcher did this, I would have immediately known. So, what does that tell you?
You want to know what's even more disgusting? On July 21st, Mike Gonzalez's ERA was the lowest it's been all season at 2.88.
That's pretty good.
You know where it stands now?
Hold on. I saw it the other day, but it was maybe earlier this week or last week. Is he, let's see, 9, or no, no, it'd be like 7.4?
No. Oh. I mean, overall ERA for the season.
Oh. I don't know. Like 5.3?
No, like I said, on July 21st, his ERA was 2.88. Right. As of September 20th, the last game he pitched, his ERA is now 4.74.
Oh.
In the span of 2 months, his ERA has almost risen by 2.
Yeah, well,
and you have to take in consideration, this isn't a starter who's going out there and pitching 6 or 7 innings a game. This is a guy who's coming in and pitching sometimes less than an inning and is just getting pummeled out there. And the fact that Ron Reinke still goes to him, just, my mind just is exploding half the time when I see Mike Gonzalez warming up. I'm like, oh no, here we go again. Like, I mean, you watch a movie like Godzilla, and you know that people of Tokyo are like, oh no, there's Godzilla, there goes Tokyo. That's kind of what Brewers fans are like with Mike Gonzalez. Oh no, there goes the lead. Oh no, there goes the season. Because of Mike Gonzalez. So.
Mike Gonzalez.
The fact that I had to bring up a Godzilla comparison in for Mike Gonzalez, just that says a lot about him. At least it should.
Run! It's Godzilla! See, what I did there was I said Gonzera. Super, super stereotypically. We won't say racist because it's not racist. It's how they sound in those movies. It's stereotypical.
No, they have the English accents and their mouths move and they don't.
Yeah, it's just how it is. But I said Gonzera. That's what we should call him from now on.
Gonzera.
Except we'll only get 2 more days to say it.
Oh no! There goes Mike Gonzera.
Mike Gonzera.
Yeah, thank God he's gone after this season.
Hey, I'm going to go way off track for a second. Today, Facebook asked me if I knew Katherine Heigl or Selena Gomez. And I was like in my brain, I'm like talking to Facebook, like, in real life? Like, no? Do I have friends who know these people? I looked, no. I'm like, why would Facebook ask me if I know these people?
Who are they?
You don't know who Katherine Heigl is or Selena Gomez?
No clue.
You're pooping me. Katherine Heigl was on like Grey's Anatomy and she was in Knocked Up.
Never seen either one.
Ben, my word. All right. Well, she's a faux celebrity now, I guess. And then Selena Gomez is famous because she used to date Justin Bieber. And then she was in that Spring Breakers movie. I don't know. She's a cute, like, 19-year-old teen pop star. And so I was just confused as to why. I can't believe you don't know who either of these people are. How old are you?
20.
Like, if my dad didn't know who they were, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm stunned that you don't know who Selena Gomez is.
No idea. I don't know. I don't keep up with really current times.
Ben, how are we going to have our other podcast if you're not up to date on all your current events?
Well, I'll work on it.
Need to work on it.
We'll have more time on that one to BS.
Katherine Heigl is terrible, so I don't care that you don't know her, but Selena Gomez, she might actually be good.
I might know where to look at her. I don't know.
Oh, Ben.
Selena Gomez, no, not ringing a bell.
Wow. Alright. Well, you should look her up.
I am.
You won't be disappointed.
She's actually 4 months older than me.
There you go. See, that's why I'm surprised you don't know who she is. But anyway. So there's that. But yeah, Facebook asked me that, and I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, am I a 38-year-old single woman? Like, what? Really? I know of them. I don't know them personally. I don't want to follow them upon Facebook.
And that should be our weekly segment of, Lou, what was the point of that?
Yeah, that is a major what was the point of that to Facebook. Unfortunately, Facebook can't defend itself. I could try to tell you what the point of that is, but I honestly don't know. Is it something that those two faux celebrities pay for, like, to get promoted? Because I've seen that on Facebook, where you can, like, pay to promote your stuff. And so I wonder if, like, Selena Gomez and Katherine Heigl are paying to promote their name on Facebook or something. I have no idea. I can't really defend it because I think it's nonsense.
I don't even have anything to say to that.
It's weird. It's very weird.
That is really weird. So, apparently another off-topic thing was that I want to talk about real quick is apparently the Buckeyes, Ohio State Buckeyes, are playing Wisconsin tomorrow, and I had no idea of that until today, until Kurt said tomorrow's Hate Ohio Day, and I'm like, you don't hate me, do you, Kurt? I'm like, I don't like the Buckeyes. I don't really follow college football.
I'm surprised that you don't like college football. I'm thrilled that you hate the Buckeyes.
I don't hate the Buckeyes. I don't care about them.
Well, that means you hate them. Just trust me on this. It just means you hate them.
They're the worst, man. I hate Ohio State. I hate having to play them. I hate having to see their smug faces. I hate having to look at Urban Meyer. Hate Urban Meyer. That guy is the biggest sack of crap ever. For all the crap that Ryan Braun and Josh Freeman get, he faked having heart problems to leave a program that he knew was going to come under NCAA investigation. Then all of a sudden he's a sports announcer for one season and mystically his heart condition is better? Come on now. And everybody's just like, oh, he's so great. No, he's not. He's a liar and a fraud.
See, when I first heard his name, Urban Meyer, I thought of the hot dog car, the Oscar Meyer thing.
Why?
Urban Meyer, Oscar Meyer, they sound the same.
Wow, you really didn't know who he was?
No, I knew who he was when he was still with Florida. I first heard about him because, you know, I wasn't really ever into college football, and when I kind
but
of
you knew,
and
but
when
you
I
knew kind of Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I know who Tim Tebow is. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but last night I was just looking up Tim Tebow for whatever reason, and apparently a Russian team was interested in signing Tim Tebow. I didn't even know there was football in Russia.
A lot of teams are interested in signing Tim Tebow. He just has too much pride. He needs to go play in Canada for a year or two. Come on back. It's really that simple. Go to Canada or go to the Arena League. Try to get better.
Jacksonville could sign him. It's his home state.
Jacksonville doesn't want to sign him. I'm sure he would have by now. They don't want him. I wouldn't want him.
Because Blaine Gabbert's such a much better option.
Well, no, he's not. But
Tim Tebow will draw people to the stands, though. That's all they care about.
I don't know. Jacksonville really is terrible.
Well, yeah, they are. In their first 2 weeks, they had scored a total of 11 points.
Of 11 runs? They might as well. Baseball teams can score more than 11 runs in two games.
Which I thought was really funny. Like a few weeks ago, Hunter Pence drove in 7 runs. That was more than half the teams that day had scored like all together in the game.
Yeah, that Hunter Pence, he's pretty good at the baseball.
He is pretty good at the baseball. Well, we've gotten really off track here.
I knew this thing was going off the rails as soon as a certain something snuck out of my mouth. I knew that this episode was going way off the rails.
So what have we learned so far?
Today?
Facebook, what is wrong with you?
Facebook is the worst. The Avengers is overrated. Lou's going to get in trouble from the FCC.
Yes, because they listen to this show.
They might. You never know. Let's see, what else did we learn today, boys and girls? Mike Gonzalez is now Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Let's see.
And Lou and I still haven't started our other podcast.
Yes, and we can't until Ben knows who Selena Gomez is.
If I say who she, I know who she is. Can we start?
No, because I'm going to make references on the other show about this sort of stuff. I need you to get up there, man.
All right, I'll read her entire Wikipedia page tonight.
Well, don't go crazy. I don't need you to be doing stuff like that. It's a wide variety. I meant to say array and variety at the same time, and I said variety. Sorry, that was embarrassing. Making up words. So you need to become more in touch with pop culture. I don't like to be that in touch with pop culture, but I still know who Selena Gomez is.
Okay, well, I might know more than you think. I don't know. I might.
But you honestly and truly didn't know who Selena Gomez was? I'm stunned.
Not familiar with her.
I feel like that little girl is everywhere. I feel like I see her face in the grocery store all the time. And
milk cartons?
No, not yet. Hopefully never. That would be sad.
Well, you say you're in grocery store, so logically thinking I'm like milk cartons.
Ben, they haven't put pictures of kids on milk cartons since the 60s. This isn't pleasant, Bill. You know what? But you know what, Ben? I don't even think you're going to get that reference. Do you know what I mean when I say this isn't pleasant, Bill?
No.
You're killing me, Ben. You're killing me.
I'm trying.
This other podcast is never going to take off because my references don't make sense to you.
The car check.
Pleasantville was a movie with Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon.
and it's actually a really great movie, but it's like it goes from color to black and white.
That's annoying.
And it's like takes place in the '50s. No, it's actually a great movie. You should give it a try sometime. Although I'm sure you won't. But the third Batman is way more important.
Well, which is more important, the third Batman or basketball?
The third Batman.
Okay.
Is more important right now. Right now, the third Batman should be your top priority.
Okay, I will make that my top priority then.
So that way, on the new podcast, we can do Bane voices.
Okay.
I do Bane voices at the dogs all the time. They hate it. And if I do one on the podcast, you're not going to get it because you haven't seen it.
Quick, real new segment I'm making up right now just because I thought of it.
Go.
Which is baseball related, so we're back on track. Is my moment of the past week, and typically I don't like to see this, I really don't, but my moment of the past week was Michael Wacha losing his no-hitter. I'm sorry, it was...
Wow, cold-blooded, Ben.
It is. I don't care. I'm sick of the media and sports and everything just going gaga over the Cardinals. So I wanted to see something bad happen to them, and it did. So thank you, Ryan Zimmerman, for breaking that up.
You know what, though, Ben? I don't even know how to say this without killing my own soul. I think you just jinxed us now.
How? There's two games left in the season.
No, I think that you jinxed us. Yeah, that's never stopped them before. They're going to win the World Series now, and we're going to have to eat that all offseason because of what you just did.
You know what could
by wishing ill will on Waka Waka...
Pac-Man noises.
Yeah, now we're doomed to watch them run through the playoffs again. You've doomed us all, Ben.
See, the worst possible scenario for a World Series... Because if this was a World Series, I would just not watch it, pretend it didn't exist... would be the Cardinals and the Red Sox. I would just... That would not even...
Are you kidding me? I would love to watch a rematch of that, because I think the Red Sox could actually beat the Cardinals this time around.
I don't want to see either team win that World Series. I'd rather have the World Series be canceled.
Oh, come on. Don't be like that. The World Series is the World Series. I don't care if it is the Astros and the whoever they played.
Dude, the Astros were in it. That'd be amazing.
No, not this year's Astros. The Andy Pettit, Roger Clemens Astros.
Oh...
In 2005, they literally made the playoffs. They won the division. They were like a game over 500, and then they just kicked it in the playoffs. But then they ended up losing the World Series. I just don't remember to whom.
No, my team for the postseason is the A's.
I would also like to see the A's win it, but I just worry for them.
See, everybody around here is freaking out. It's Cleveland, you know, they're really...
Yeah, they're going to make it, which is...
Maybe.
I think they're going to.
They still have to, you know...
Care of business, but if they take care of business, it's theirs for the taking.
They're going to have to play Texas or Tampa Bay for it, though, probably.
Well, I think they can beat Texas right now. Texas seems to be falling apart. If they had to play Tampa Bay, they might be in trouble, because that freaking team... There's no reason the Brewers can't be like the Rays. There's just no reason. The Rays are... It's preposterous. They just take anybody... Like, it seems like it doesn't even matter. They just take people from the farm system and they're like, good news, you're a Major League Baseball player now. And they win. I just cannot figure it out. It's like one of the great mysteries of my life is the mystery of Joe Madden. Like, I don't understand. Like, you look at that roster. Like, really, take it in. And just go, how are you guys in the playoffs? And the Brewers are, you know, we're hoping that they don't lose 90, or, you know, they're gonna lose just shy of 90 games. Like, what is the difference there?
Whoa, hold the phone. When did they get Dalman Young?
I think they picked him up off waivers.
How is a team with Dalman Young going to the playoffs?
That happens a lot, actually. I feel like...
Really?
Yeah, he was on the Tigers last year.
Did he do anything?
Yeah, he was the NLCS MVP, I think.
Seriously? Why do I remember that?
Are you kidding me? Dude, you can't be serious right now, Ben, you're killing me.
I honestly do not remember that.
You're kidding me, right? Or am I thinking of somebody else? I might be thinking of somebody else. It might be me who's crazy. I could have sworn that Dalman Young was on the Tigers last year, and then he went to the Phillies.
Yeah, he did go to the Phillies. 2012 ALCS. And, oh my god, yeah, it was Dalman Young.
Dom Young was the MVP of that. Yeah, he was the ALSCS MVP.
Dude. Oh, I don't remember that because it's kind of after the whole Derek Jeter breaking his ankle thing, that series just kind of died to me.
You and your Yankee-dom.
Hey, you know, I have Brewer-dom.
I know you do, but we just have to kill that Yankee side.
I'm basically, I get it from my mom. You know,
don't you blame Dorothy Orr. Dorothy Orr is a saint.
I don't know.
I thought that might be your mom's name.
Not even close.
I have no evidence to support.
What is it with you in the Wizard of Oz tonight? Dorothy? You started swinging the Wicked Witch?
Oh, weird. I don't know. I must have it on the brain, even though I was watching Bo Jackson before we started this. I don't know why Wizard of Oz is in my brain. It's very odd.
Bo knows.
Bo does know. It's a great documentary if you've never watched it. And you're too young to remember Bo Jackson playing. Bo Jackson was a freak, man.
And he played for he played football and basketball. I mean, football and baseball.
Yeah, he was one of the last guys to be both. Him and Deion Sanders were doing it at the same time. But Bo Jackson was like the greatest baseball player ever and the greatest football player ever at the exact same time. And then he got hurt and it was his hip, and that was the end of his career. He just couldn't come back. Very sad, though, because he dominated all, like, nonstop in baseball and football. So if you get a chance, you should watch that 30 for 30. I don't condone much that ESPN does, but I like those documentaries.
Yeah, because that one does look interesting, but they always have the really stupid ones, like the Book of Manning. Ooh, because,
yeah, I'm not, yeah,
like,
I'm not
really? Watch.
But they also have some really good ones.
Yeah, so. Well, I think we should end the last segment, unless you have something else to bring up today, tonight, whatever portion of the day is. So, all right, last topic we're going to do is one we always do, is hitter, pitcher, and goat of the week. And I think we might be agreeing on a few of these, so Lou, start us off.
Maybe not. This week, because it's the last week of the season, I'm going to give my Hitter of the Week award to Scooter because I think that I know Justin and I will disagree until the end of time, but I honestly and genuinely believe that he is the second baseman of our future, and maybe it's the start of something wonderful. So I'll give it to him since it's the last of last week of the season. Pitcher of the Week, I'm going to give it to somebody sort of I'll give it to Tyler Thornburg because I watched every game this week and he was the player or the pitcher I was most impressed by. I think that his stuff is above average. I think that when his command is on, he's really hard to hit, and that gives me hope for the future. And Goat of the Week should be no surprise. I was gonna say Ricky Weeks just to be a jerk, but I'm not gonna do that. It's Mike Gonzalez.
Kicking Manley's down.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Mike Gonzalez is just he's super bad.
Which that was an okay movie.
Oh, but no, you saw Superbad.
Yeah, I've seen Superbad.
All right, that's good. All right, so I know that you'll know references to Superbad.
It was a while ago, but I've seen Superbad though.
Oh, all right, all right.
So I agree on one of those, which would be Mike Gonzalez for my Goat of the Week. Just his ERA in the past week is 54. So let that sink in.
Wait, his ERA is 54?
In the past week.
Hold on. Wait a minute. We're going to have to take a second. Just break. So, hold on. Like 54.00?
Yes.
Okay, so that means that he's giving up an average of 54 runs per inning just this week.
Apparently so. For the month of September, his ERA is 9.82. So yeah, that happened.
That's a goat sound.
Okay, I wasn't sure what that was. Maybe that's what the fox says. I get that.
Goats.
I get that reference too.
You do get, yeah, but only because I told you.
Hey, but at least I understand it now.
At least now you understand what the fox says.
Yeah, he says a lot of things.
A lot of weird things.
By Swedish Elvis, wherever they're from.
Yeah, those guys.
All right. Hitter of the week. I got to go with Lucroy. He's hitting 320 in the past week. Home run, three doubles, driven in a couple of runs, three walks, and a lot of good patience at the plate. Pitcher of the week, I gotta go Loesch. I mean, very rarely have we seen a Brewers pitcher even tread into the eighth inning, let alone get a complete game shutout. I know Willie Peralta had one earlier this season, but Kyle Loesch, you know, had one, just dominated the Braves, and just really looked great out there. And hopefully we can get more starts out of him like that next season, too. So those are my picks. And then, yeah, that's kind of...
I think Johnny Lucroy will be the team MVP this year. Like, when the team votes, I think it'll end up being Lucroy.
You know who I think could be our front runner? Not a front runner, but a decent option for MVP? And hear me out on this. Brandon Kinsler.
All right, I'm listening. I'm not taking you very seriously, but I'm listening. Go on.
Because what other reliever has Ron Reinke called upon this season that actually went in and did their job the way Brandon Kinsler did? I mean, he could pitch multiple innings for you. He's basically just reinvented himself as an eighth inning guy. Just one of the most called upon people in this bullpen with success at that. I mean, you have Badenhop, who came in a few games but got blasted. There's Gonzalez, who apparently still exists. I mean, you could make a case for Henderson, I suppose. But I feel like when you're taking a closer's role as compared to mid-relief, I feel like mid-relief doesn't get a lot of credit that a closer does, because they're out there sometimes every day and going multiple innings at that. So I really feel like Brandon Kinsler gets a lot of undeserved credit for the work he does.
I love you, Ben. You're a dreamer of dreams.
I do what I can.
Brandon Kinsler will never win team MVP. It's a nice thought, and he had a nice season, but there's just no way. Not with Gomez and Segura and Lucroy. It just ain't gonna happen, pal.
Can you ask your bat in court?
Well, how can you not throw his name into the ring?
I don't know if we can even give him worst player of the year. He's still hitting better than half the team.
He's still batting the same as Ricky Weeks. Who was a first round draft pick.
He's hitting better than Ricky Weeks, actually.
Well.
Logan Schaefer is hitting better than Ricky Weeks.
Ouch.
Giovanni Gallardo is hitting better than Ricky Weeks.
No, that can't be true.
Yes, he is. Marco Estrada is hitting better than Ricky Weeks.
Oh no. Well, when in Rome.
Yeah, that happened. So, from here on out, as we did last season, we're going to head into the off season for Brewcrew Online. We'll do two a month for October, November. We might just do one in December. We'll probably have two in January, two in February, and then March we'll play around with, see how it goes with spring training and stuff. We might go back to our four. We might just go back to two. But April 3rd, 2014 will be the start of the third season. We will be naming the podcast, so reviewing the Brew Podcast instead of Brewcrew Online, because we all have unanimously agreed the current name sucks. So, with that, we want to thank you again for listening to us ramble on for this season. And I know it wasn't the greatest of seasons in Milwaukee, but damn, it could have been a lot worse. So, as we head into the offseason yet again, you know, I just want to say thank you for those of you who listened. And really, it's been awesome to do this. So, Lou, do you have any words for
me? I had an awesome time. I'll be around. Everybody knows where to find me. If you want to make fun of my work or wish me testicular cancer, feel free to comment on my articles.
Because that hasn't happened before.
Yeah, that has never happened.
Oh, my God. So,
I'm also lying.
You can follow me at that one MLB guy. You can follow Lou at Lucifer Olsen. You can follow Reading the Brew at Review NG the Brew. There's one less I in that.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know. I really don't. You can like us on Twitter. You can actually read our articles. You can follow Justin at JShoe23. You can follow Kurt Hogue at US Stupid Hogue. So, that name just cracks me up.
It makes me laugh every time, and it's so dumb.
So, you know, that's us. We're reviewing the Brood. This is season two of our podcast. Really towards the end of the season now. And off-season will be interesting to see. We might talk some playoffs. We'll definitely be talking free agency, arbitration. We'll be talking winter GM meetings probably December-ish. So we'll see what happens until then. And as always, you stay classy, Milwaukee.
Go A's.